Okay, well, my name is Paul Perry, and I am the paramedic program director with Kenai Peninsula College in Sedona, Alaska. We are a community campus under the University of Alaska out of Anchorage. And one of the things that I do when I teach EMT students and paramedic students is I try to give them a feel of real life and some of the experiences that I had as an EMT growing up on the streets or as a young paramedic. And I always, when I get to the OB portions of the class, whether it's the EMT 1 class, and I repeat it often in the paramedic program as well, but I tell them about my very first delivery. And I think it's important that they know that, you know, here's my professor in front of me, here's this paramedic with 20 years experience, you know, did he ever have the issues on the streets that, you know, me as a brand new EMT I would be having. And so I tell them about my very first delivery on the streets. And so I need to back up a little bit and tell you a little bit about my background. I grew up in Provo, Utah, and we often tease that Provo is a bubble over the city. You know, the streets aren't nearly as rough as you would find in a normal inner city. And so when I was 18 years old, I joined the military, and I found myself in Augusta, Georgia, working on a BLS truck. And we got toned out to one of the local high schools in the low-income part of town. And my partner, who was also 18 years old, we were both EMT basics, very, very green behind the ears. And we get toned out to an OB call at the local high school, and it was in the projects, and it was a rough high school, and we knew it was a rough high school. We went in, and we were met by two nurses, and these two school nurses walked us back to the nurse's lab, or the nurse's clinic, where we had a 14, 15-year-old girl who was in active labor, very pooched out. I mean, very obviously, she was term, and we were going to be transporting her to the hospital. And I remember looking at my partner going, wow, she's really in labor, and kind of thinking to myself, well, cool, I'm going to drive the ambulance. And so we put her on the gurney, did our typical vital signs and basic assessment like all EMTs do, you know, SAMPLE, sample and OPQRST, and we did everything just like the textbooks had taught us. And as we rolled her out of the high school to put her in the back of the ambulance, I remember looking at my partner and realizing that he had every intention on driving the ambulance and that I was going to be in the back of the ambulance with this young lady who was having contractions at less than 2 minutes apart. And in Augusta, there are many hospitals in the downtown area, but there's railroad tracks that often occlude the ability to get from one area of the city to the other. And I remember as we loaded her in the back of the ambulance, my partner, again, we're both 18 years old, very, very young, and I'm very, very green around the edges. And I remember him jumping in the driver's seat, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, so to look, you know, like we're not totally incompetent, I jumped in the back of the ambulance and closed the doors. And about that time, this young lady just let out a cry of the baby's coming. And I remember as we started to drive away, the two nurses, I'll never forget their face, as they were looking at the back of the ambulance, and I just wonder what they were thinking. Oh my gosh, what have we done? We've put this poor young girl in the back of the ambulance with this brand new EMT basic who has no concept of what a girl is, much less how to deliver a baby. And so I remember being en route to the hospital. It was probably a 5 or 6 minute transport time. It was not anything that was real critical. And I remember calling up to the driver and saying, I need you to pick it up. We're going to go in code. She's an imminent delivery. She's saying the baby's coming, and realizing that as a brand new EMT basic, I needed to check to see whether or not this young girl was crowning or whether or not, you know, we were going to have an actual delivery. And I remember my partner stopping the ambulance. And I'm going, what are you doing? Why are you stopping? He goes, we have a train. And we are parked behind the railroad tracks, and we've got our lights and siren. And I remember, you know, 20 years later, I can remember thinking at that time, we have a rule that when an ambulance comes to the railroad tracks, they're to stop the train, break the train apart, and allow us to go through. And I'm thinking to myself, why aren't they doing this? Meanwhile, girl screams again. I'm starting to now get a little jumpy, a little panicky. She's wearing sweats. And I remember that she helped me pull her sweats down and her underwear down. And I was in total awe of what was about to happen. I had no idea on what was happening. I had done the OB mannequin delivery in EMT 1 class, and I had seen a movie or two about it, but had no concept of about what was about to happen. And I remember her screaming, "The baby's coming, the baby's coming." And I'm going, "Don't push. Hold your legs together. Don't push. Please don't push." And I remember her looking at me going, "Ah, the baby's coming, the baby's coming." And sure enough, she was crowning. And I'm screaming up to the driver going, "You've got to get us through. She's about to deliver this baby. You've got to get us through." And this poor girl, I think she was more afraid for me at that point in time than she was about having this baby. And I remember grabbing the radio, and as a young EMT, listen to these words: do not grab your radio and scream into your radio. In Augusta, Georgia, we had shared med channels. And so you identified yourself, and I went, you know, EMT, you know, Perry to med control, I need you to please get a physician to the radio stat. I'm screaming on the radio, and I'll never forget, 20 years later, I'll never forget Dr. Laura Bielerud coming to the radio. Dr. Laura Bielerud was an emergency room physician. She looked, in my opinion, looking back 20 years, I remember her as being about 5 foot tall, maybe 4 foot 11, very slender lady, reminded me of Dr. Ruth, okay, just very short, slender lady, curly hair. And I went, Dr. Bielerud, this is EMT Perry, and I'm on scene, and we've got a 15-year-old girl. She's in active labor, and she's crowning, and I've told her not to push, and I've told her to hold her legs together, but she won't stop. And as I'm doing that, you just can imagine 9 frequencies of radio traffic coming to a complete halt. And so here I am screaming at Dr. Bielerud on the radio, and she turns back on, and she goes, "Paul, deliver the baby. I don't know how. I don't know how to deliver the baby." She goes, "Yes, you do. You did it in EMT 1 class. I don't remember." And I'm having this discussion over the airways. And she goes, "Deliver the baby. Okay." And I'm mad at her because she's yelling at me to deliver the baby. And so I put the radio down, and I go back to this poor girl who's just petrified at this point in time. I'm sweating like crazy. I'm very fair-skinned anyway, and so I'm just sweating like crazy, and I'm probably sweating all over her, and I'm scared to death, and we're going to deliver this baby in the back of the ambulance. And she delivers the baby, and it's a perfect delivery, and we deliver this baby onto the gurney, and I suctioned out his mouth and his nose, and I looked at him, and I go, "He's white." This was a very dark-skinned young lady. And I said, "He's white?" And she just went, "Wah! Oh my gosh!" No one told me that dark-colored babies, when they're first born, are lighter, and then they darken up, within a few minutes, much like an Apgar scale for a little white baby who's blue and then turns white. No, I didn't know this. I got a little white-gray baby, and I'm going, "He's white!" This poor girl just lost it. She just lost it. And I go, no, he looks good. Everything's fine. And I cut the umbilical cord and set the baby, or gave the baby to mom, who is probably just freaking out like crazy at that moment in time. And I remember us, the train finally got past. I mean, all this happened in about 4 or 5 minutes flat. But I remember pulling into University Hospital in Augusta, Georgia, pulling onto the EMS ramp and having all those paramedics and all those EMTs lined up in their trucks just to see this, "I can't believe we let him for loose on the streets" kid with this baby. And sure enough, we drove up onto the ramp. Dr. Bielerud stepped into the back of the ambulance, and she went over and she looked at the baby first, and the baby was fine. And she looked at mom and she says, "Are you okay, honey?" And the little girl, at that time she was 3 or 4 years younger than me, she goes, "I'm okay, but I don't think he is." And she's looking at me, and I'm sitting here going, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe this is going on." And she goes, "It's okay. Of course, not only did we have just, and I know I'm exaggerating, but it seemed like hundreds of my peers, EMTs and paramedics, all on the ramp just to see, oh my gosh, this guy just like lost it completely over the radio. But we also had all of the emergency room staff, all of the OB staff, all of the neonatal resuscitation team staff, and Dr. Bielerud, they're all there. It's like I've got a crowd, and she comes in, and she closes the back of the ambulance, checks everybody. The neonate team took the baby all up to the nursery, and the OB team took the mom up to labor and delivery, and it was fine. And then Dr. Bielerud was sitting there next to me in the back of the ambulance, and she says, "How you doing, Paul?" And I said, "I don't think I can do this ever again." She goes, "Oh, yes, you can." She says, "Monday morning, I would like you to report to labor and delivery, and I would like you to spend a week in the labor and delivery ward doing a clinical rotation." And I'm thinking, okay, I can do this. I can do a week in labor and delivery. And so she had arranged for me to go over to the Medical College of Georgia, which is a very large training hospital there in Augusta. And the nurses, and I work with nurses in the emergency room all day long. I have some of my best friends are nurses. But the nurses at MCG, I've just determined, are evil. And they were waiting for me. They were waiting for this short-haired, red-headed 18-year-old kid to show up in their OB department. And they were waiting for me with bright pink scrubs and a pink hairnet and pink slippers for my feet, and they were waiting. And I've also determined that dispatchers can be evil people too, because they had made recordings of the actual radio traffic, and I still sometimes receive those recordings in the mail. But they brought me in, and the first day in the labor and delivery department, all I did was shadow nurses. And we went from room to room to room to room, and I got to watch normal babies be born. I got to watch C-sections. I got to actually experience, okay, you really are as naive as we thought you were when you got here. So we're going to teach you something about women to begin with, and this is their anatomy and physiology, and this is how babies are born, et cetera. And after the first day, I got to do a lot of watching. By the second day, I got to do some well baby care. I got to actually touch babies. And of course, I was right there for another 10 or 15 deliveries. By the third and fourth day, I was actually getting to help do some deliveries. And by the end of the fifth day, I was actually getting to do deliveries. And in that week-long period, I was involved with 34 actual deliveries. And to this day, OB is one of my best topics that I love to teach. And I always start it with this story because people just, you know, when you're 18 years old, you just don't know. And I love this story. I mean, I love the remembrance of this story of being 18 years old and having to experience your first birth. I've had many deliveries as a professional paramedic in the field. And I often tell this story to my moms, you know, as we're in the back of the ambulance. I say, you know, it's funny because I could tell you stories of how things were 20 years ago. And it just says, but just so you know, we got 34 deliveries under our belt before we left there. And we've done, I probably have had 7 or 8 deliveries in the field since then. And they're just wonderful. It's a great thing. But we all started as 18-year-old, really, really rookies. And sure enough, that's kind of the way it goes. So that's my story. I mean, we all start somewhere. And to this day, I never forget that, you know, where we came from. So.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FISDAP with support from EMSresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.